Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
Hello.
name, please.
Name, please. I am Ned Cubed, also known as Ned Cubed, also known as...
Yeah, Ned. There we go. That's an intro.
Yeah, that's the worst one yet.
That's like, that is an intro. It is actually an intro.
Yeah.
We did that. Welcome to Going In Raw, the wrestling podcast that is produced by us once a month. And then just me and Larson on a weekly basis.
And, this is special. This is the pay-per-view one.
This is the pay-per-view one.
Yeah.
So Dan has to actually pay attention and watch stuff, which I think he's regretting. He's going to say, yeah, I'm going to do this on a quarterly basis.
I know. And then just for WrestleMania.
And
then just the ultimate WrestleMania instead of good.
Yeah, exactly. And WrestleMania is I'm interested in. So anyways, on today's episode, we're going to talk Extreme Rules. And we're going to have a special episode, my favorite episode of what is it called? Book of the Match.
Yeah. Book of the Match.
We're going to talk about Wrestle War 1990. So if you guys, we kind of announced this a little bit on the late side. I'm sorry, yes. The full title, thank you. The full title is Wrestle War Wild Thing 1990. And if you guys want to pause it and watch this pay-per-view, we invite you to do that so you can, because this is just the most ridiculous piece of shit that we've ever watched.
If you really want to, yeah.
It's so entertaining for how fucking weird it is. And just, I don't know, we'll get
to it. It's an 80s time capsule that was actually produced in the 90s.
Yes, exactly correct.
Somebody opened an 80s time capsule.
There you go.
And Lex Luger spilled out with his green tie. I've never seen that shade of green before.
Not on him, absolutely not.
No. We'll get that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I love that shit. And it's a weird how I landed on that pay-per-view, too. But we'll get to that in a bit. And then, of course, at the very end, we're going to give you our Kevin Owens. What? Is there a name for that segment?
I think it's just Kevin Owens Angle of the Month.
Kevin Owens Angle of the Month.
Is there a
Going in Owens. Kevin Goins.
Goins in Raw.
Goins in Raw.
Or just Owens in Raw.
There you go. But first, we got Extreme Rules 2015. This is the lackluster follow-up show to WrestleMania.
Yep.
Everybody's sort of on a WrestleMania hangover, I think that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of explains this show, which to me kind of felt more like a Raw than an actual pay-per-view. What do you guys think?
That's exactly what it was. It just felt nothing more special than a Raw.
Right.
It made me realize a few things as well. And one of those things is that I hate steel cage matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can be
really good or just... Most steel cage matches seem like it's unfulfilled potential.
Well, they always go, so nobody interferes. And every single time, there's a fucking door.
Yeah.
Close the door. Put 20 locks on the door. Set fire to the door so nobody can get through the door.
That was kind of Kane's job in this, is to be the gatekeeper. He became part of the story, which I actually didn't mind too much. I was like, you know what? I kind of like how they're using Kane these days because it's just going to go back. I'm hoping it's just going to lead to him snapping and going to his masked alter ego, actual Kane.
But I want the mask on corporate Kane.
You want like the mishmash. You want like custom create a wrestler Kane with mask and suit.
Like in WCW versus NWO Revenge, where you just put different costumes on the same person. That's what I want. But I just want his mask with the slacks and the boots.
Because in Revenge you can change their names, what would you name that Kane? Because you can't just call him corporate Kane because corporate Kane is Kane without a mask and a suit.
Yeah, and I can't just call him Kane. You
can't call him Kane.
Kane is Kane with the mask and the tights.
And the tights.
Man, that's an interesting question.
I think you should do this. You should call him Corporate Kane, but put a K on the corporate.
Mortal Kombat style.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's a good idea. Corporate Kane DDS.
And then it'll immediately be transported back to the 90s when that was a thing we did.
Speaking of Isaac Yankum DDS, man, I saw this Raw. I was watching, sometimes the network will just tweet out these things like, hey, we're watching this shitty episode of 1995 Raw when Diesel was champion. You should watch it now. And, of course, I'm always like, okay, sure. And so I turn it on. Man, it was chock full of weird, again, which is my standard of quality. The weirder, the better.
Early mid-90s wrestling is the weirdest
there is.
So weird.
High points, low points for Extreme Rules. Dan, why don't you go first? What was a high point for you?
Neville.
Yeah, I love Neville. You know, it's weird. I was never like, I think maybe because I didn't pay too much attention to him in NXT, because I sort of started watching NXT right when he was ending his sort of reign on top. But Neville is fantastic. I fucking love him, man. I think he's great. I think he's ugly as shit, and I think he needs to do something about his look. But his ring presence, or his what he can do in the ring is fantastic.
He had some superb stuff. I liked it when he did the dive like between or possibly even over the ropes and landed it in sort of like a down on one knee, ta-da!
He can do shit like that. It's crazy. That's going to kill him like 20 years from now when he gets out of bed. But for our entertainment purposes right now, it's fantastic.
Oh, yes.
A lot of the shit that guy does, I just, when he lands or he does whatever, I'm like, oh, God, that looks like it really fucking hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's going to put so much wear and tear on his body.
You remember when Rollins used to do the flip out of the ring and land on his feet on the outside?
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to do it all the time? That's the same thing I thought. Like, gosh, he's killing his knees so bad right now.
Hey, speaking of which, we should probably talk about this for a moment. The banning of the curb stomp.
Yeah.
I think, Dan, you were about to protest wrestling in general for that, correct?
Yes. The curb stomp is a thing of beauty. It's a beautiful move because unlike most wrestling moves, where you go, how did that hurt that guy? You see a curb stomp, you go, oh, he dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those moves that looks like it's genuinely killed a man. And because Seth is such a villain, it works because it's a villainous move. Yeah. He can't be a face and have that. The only reason that I'd see him getting rid of it is if he was turning face, because that doesn't really fit.
It was kind of, you're right, because it was kind of like Randy Orton's punt. Back in the day, he used to punt people.
Yeah.
But when he turned face, he can't do that anymore. He can't be punting people in your face.
Yeah. It just looks vicious, and getting rid of it is the worst thing. The worst.
I agree.
Why? There are worse, more dangerous things than that.
I'm curious about that too, because do you think it's just for appearances? Like,
well, you know, there's some former wrestlers that were filing a lawsuit against WWE about injuries and whatnot, and I read something that they speculated that it was a preemptive banning to kind of, you know, save face, saying, oh no, we pay attention to wrestler safety.
Yeah. Look,
we ban this move that could be harmful but is yet to hurt anybody, whereas we let people do flying headbutts, which does hurt people.
Yeah. The only way that I'd be somewhat semi-okay with it is if they just took it away from him on a regular basis, and if he busted out during, if it's used as like a oh my god moment.
Yeah.
Like during pay-per-views, important matches, stuff like that. Like if he busted out just for certain things, then it would make it a more effective move.
Yeah, that's what Kane used to do with the Tombstone. He didn't do it all the time, and except for pay-per-view matches, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think finishers should be like that.
Yeah,
you should have like a finisher that is your, once you've done that, that's it. Like everybody should have I've won now finisher that's kind of hard to set up, but that's the one that actually, when they use it, everybody goes, oh, they're dead, well done, you win.
Are you suggesting that finishers should actually finish?
Yes, that's all. Crazy, I know. But like, you can still have your other ones and fly around, but you should have one that's special that you can do, and that's like the deadly one.
Yeah,
and I'd like that, because some wrestlers do have that. Some do, like Randy has one.
Yeah,
the punt. That's definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen people kick out of that for quite some time.
Right, yeah, I don't think anybody's kicked out of a punt.
It's not a thing you're supposed to.
But it's like, you know, Brock Lesnar can deliver, like, you know, five F5s to somebody and they'll just get up. That was one of my highlights, actually, was when Orton, a lot of people sort of, Orton, I think they're booking pretty well.
Yeah.
When it comes to being strong and a cheating heel. Because when they have him kicking out of things like a pedigree, which should be a finisher.
Yeah.
That's booking him strong. And I actually really like that about the cage match last night, is that there were spots. The cage match itself was fairly weak. There was interference and shit, and I agree with that. But in terms of making him look strong, they had a couple points where they did that, and I kind of like that about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Unlike Roman, who went through 50 tables, was shot twice, tased, killed, and tapped out of absolutely, pulled out of everything.
Yeah,
there's a difference, because like I don't know, because by the end of it, Roman just... He's got that Cena thing where at the end of a fight, he doesn't look like he's been killed yet. And he just is like, I win!
Yes.
So this is, I think, why I watch Lesnar, because I've been watching Lesnar's matches, especially like the WrestleMania stuff, and when he gets like bloodied or murdered in some way, he looks like he's dead. Like, it's Lesnar, and he's still terrifying, and he can pull it out, but he's still... He'll go into rage mode, do a move, and then he's dead again. And that's what I like. That's who I can go for. Someone who can actually get injured is someone who I can support and go, yay! Because everybody else is just playing on infinite health.
It's
no fun
with that. Yeah, that was definitely a low light for me, was Roman Reigns. And honestly, like, I was actually kind of okay with the spots they did. The finish killed it for me, though. Like... Because it wasn't Roman doing something spectacular. It wasn't him being strong, other than tipping something over on somebody and pinning him down. That's like not the point of a last man standing match. You don't look strong winning a last man standing match on a technicality. Yeah, technically he couldn't stand up because he was pinned down.
Cena beats Bray Wyatt by that in some way.
I think that
annoyed me as well.
I think somebody mentioned that on our Twitter feed. Somebody mentioned that Alberto Del Rio might have won a belt that way against Edge, which sounds right. I don't remember. I don't remember him being very entertaining. But this is especially when you're trying to build Roman strong, and for him not to lay out the Big Show.
Yeah,
there's no reason why the Big Show needs to be conscious at the end of a match. Like, you don't need to make him look strong anymore. He's on the downside of it. Like, he's this close to retiring.
I will say this last night, that the Big Show was wildly entertaining. He was great. No tables.
The crowd loved him, too.
Yeah, like, it was so funny.
When he was revving up to do his spear, the crowd started... Didn't they start chanting, like, "Thank you, Big Show," or something like that?
Oh, did they?
I think they, unless I completely got it wrong.
I really enjoyed his booyah.
Because it was a Chicago crowd.
Yeah.
And it's like, they, you know, they're going to...
Feel like a Chicago crowd most of the night.
Yeah, you're right, it didn't. Usually they're a lot more raucous.
Yeah, it felt very tame. Especially, even for a pay-per-view crowd, it felt pretty damn tame.
Yeah.
Which was quite unusual. And there was only one CM Punk chant for the whole thing. I was surprised.
I know, I did notice that. There was only one of those.
Yeah.
Another highlight for me, I'll be completely honest, was the New Day winning the belts.
Yeah.
I have become a fan of the New Day, largely because of Xavier Woods. I don't get the logic of him starting the New Day sucks, like, clap chant and then being puzzled by it. That makes me laugh so hard when he gets up on the turnbuckle and he's clapping along with them, but his face is completely bewildered.
Yeah.
I love those guys. They crack me up.
Yeah, they're great.
I love that they're heels now, or they're whatever they are now.
I love that. The thing they're doing now is good.
Whatever it is they're doing, because they're like not... I guess they are heels because they cheat. But I don't know. And I love that there's three of them, and they're kind of like... They sort of made it obvious that they're going to do the Freebird thing, I think, where any two of them can defend the belts. Because, like... You know, they go backstage and they interview him, and Xavier's got one belt, but then he kind of passes it around. And I don't know. I really dig that. I hope that they do the Freebird rule with those guys, because it would suck if it was just Xavier Woods running around cheating for everybody. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that. I thought that was a really entertaining match, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was.
I mean, of course, Kid and Cesaro is good. Natalya looks great. And Xavier Woods sold her slap really, really well. I thought that was great. So, I don't. That was a highlight for me.
Agreed.
Didn't watch it. I'd fallen asleep at that point. I did wake up like when Ambrose and Harper came back in, but I had nodded off like midway through the Ziggler Sheamus. So it was... I was really tired, and I was just like, I was slightly asleep.
Larson, what's another highlight for you?
I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a highlight, because the match wasn't that great, but I was surprised that Dolph pinned Sheamus.
Yeah.
And Sheamus's return match. I guess, although Sheamus, you know, he got the last laugh, so to say. But it was still surprising. I thought they would have Sheamus go over clean.
It kind of made them both look strong, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was one of those surprise... Like, it's not like Ziggler overpowered him and killed him. It was a surprise. It was a schoolboy, right? Wasn't it just
Ziggler
a
ever done that? Ziggler ever overpowered and killed anyone ever? Ziggler is...
That's not going to happen.
No, that's not how he does things.
Yeah. But it was crafty, and it was fun. And then I don't know. I like the whole interaction at the end of that match with Ziggler doing his little stripper routine and then Sheamus just fucking laying him out. I thought that was cool. I don't know. I thought it was an entertaining match.
Oh, yeah. It was entertaining for sure.
Yeah. It's funny because going through these, I think, you know what? I think probably what killed this pay-per-view for me was Cena and Reigns. Not surprisingly, I guess. That Cena-Rusev match. Granted, Alabama started crying when it started going down, which was, you know, I was like, wow, you're a really smart kid. And so I was sort of walking around the house trying to calm her down. And then I came back and I was like, hey, what happened with this match? Because I saw the first like 5 minutes and I just didn't, I mean, I think I understood it, but it was so ridiculous. Yeah. And like, you got to walk around and hit the corners and then there's lights.
There's a reason you don't do those, or there's a reason they don't do those kind of matches anymore.
Way too much going on.
I've seen one of them before.
Really?
Well, like, it was recent as well because I've seen it. It was either, it must have been one of the things that we watched for Book of the Match, or it was in one of the pay-per-views in the last year or two. Because I definitely have seen one, because I remember the lights were shitty and the lights didn't work. But it wasn't Russian Chain, it was whatever the hell it was supposed to be called. Because this was entirely different, because they changed the texture of the thing that was holding the two people together.
Yeah.
But that match bugged me, because you've got Thingy unconscious on the floor, and Cena's just walking between the things. I'm like, run! You moron!
I know. Anytime you can just lumber around in a general direction and then win a match, I was not into that at all.
And the final spot, it was strange to me, because anytime there was a lull in the action, the ref would call off the lights.
Yeah. Or anytime someone did a move. Every time someone did a move, they'd turn off the lights. Yeah.
And then except for the end, when they have like a 45-second stare down, those lights stay on for some reason.
And then Cena does a move.
Yeah.
He did the AA, and then the lights stay on. You're like, ah. And also, they never really established whose color's light was whose. Like, they could just have a person's face or their logo.
They did towards the beginning. They said Cena was green and Rusev was red.
I must have missed that, because when I watched it, I was like, I don't quite know who's winning this.
Well, the very beginning, when Rusev, I think, touched the turnbuckle, they turned, I think, both lights on.
Yeah.
At one point, it seemed that the people controlling the lights were at one point confused about whose light was used.
They had no idea what was going on. They were like, what? I wasn't really paying attention during the meeting. I have to turn on lights now? every time Rusev hits it, you're supposed to hit a light. Which one? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Dan had a point. You don't know who it is. Instead, like, their faces, you could do like a hologram face, because people do holograms now, so you have like Cena's little smiling face every time he takes it. I would be entertained by that.
The problem there is Cena would hit it and then his face would come and he'd just stand there and admire it for a few minutes, and that would give Rusev time to come back.
He would.
Yes, we now have another match with Cena Rusev at the next pay-per-view.
Yep.
I don't know why the fourth match is a final chapter. Usually there is a rubber match. That's the final chapter.
Yeah.
Is this the fourth? Did they do one before WrestleMania?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. It was Fastlane, WrestleMania, this one.
Oh, they did one at Fastlane. Wow, they don't count.
That's the one Rusev won, so I guess not.
Oh, yeah. Predictions. Who's going to... Is Cena going to continue his U.S. run?
No, because I came up with the real evil thing that Rusev can do that I thought was quite obvious.
Oh, I saw that. That's actually an interesting idea.
Tell us what. I don't know what.
That Rusev puts Lana in the accolade and makes Cena quit that way.
Oh,
that's what I would have done. Yeah, I know. I was like, I hope they do that.
that's like a Larson level fantasy booking right there. All right, I like it. Let's see here. I didn't watch much of the Bella's Naomi match. Is that any good?
I have one word written down for that. There's just one word I wrote down that for, and it was the word shoes.
Those shoes were rad. That's right. That was totally a highlight for me. Yeah. I love those shoes. Those are great.
That's all I remember was the shoes. I don't know who won that match.
Nikki did. Naomi's really good in the ring, though. She's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, she's good. I like her.
I was kind of distracted by the shoes.
Yeah, those shoes were really cool.
Yeah, those shoes are badass.
I liked another highlight for me. I liked the Dean Ambrose Luke Harper thing. Like, it was sort of in the spirit of things. You know, they leave the arena, they come back, put a bunch of chairs in the ring.
It was very Attitude Era.
I wish they'd come back and were ripped up and bloodied, so you could happen.
Dude, I totally agree with that. I wanted somebody's like, I wanted them to have like their shirt switched or something, something ridiculous, like pizza all over them. Like, you're totally right. And another thing I would have done is keep that match going throughout the pay-per-view.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't have stopped it at the end of the pay-per-view. I would have that match keep going forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would make that the dawn of the new hardcore 24/7 championship.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what
that would have been. That would have been spectacular. I was really hoping they would just keep on going like throughout the pay, maybe finish it up like before the match, before like the main event. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. That could have been a lot of fun. But I thought what they did was decent.
Yeah.
I still want the Hardcore Championship back. I still say that with the network, this is the best time to have it because you just flash a little update on the app and go, ooh, something's gonna happen on the network, and then you go on the network.
That's a great idea. That's actually a really good idea.
I just want that so much. And then you get like a little 5-minute little thing that they filmed, and then that could be the title switch or someone trying something and failing, and that's just load of content for the network.
And if they're worried about the whole, like, the idea of it's hardcore, we're not in the Attitude Era anymore, just call, like, the 24/7 belt or something like
that.
Yeah, like,
easy.
Yeah. Oh,
just
I
call
like
it the Network Championship.
Yeah, the network belt.
Yeah.
And it could be defended any time in the network. Oh, I like that a lot. That's very good. Speaking of the network, they got the King of the Ring tournament happen. This is cool. I think that this is the kind of thing the network needs more of. So tonight on Raw, they're going to do King of the Ring. They're bringing back the King of the Ring. They're going to do like the qualifying matches, I believe, tonight. And then tomorrow night, live on the network, they're going to do the actual King of the Ring tournament.
That's cool.
That's kind of cool. I like that they're putting actual like wrestling, besides superstars, which nobody cares about. They're putting like actual like an actual stuff, you know, content that isn't just behind the scenes stuff or NXT up on the network.
Or Jerry Springer.
Yeah, or Jerry Springer, exactly. I kind of like that. I like that they're doing the network. It feels like we're getting a little bit more bang for our buck. So I kind of appreciate that. Before we sign off from Extreme Rules, any other highlights, lowlights? What else you guys got?
Nothing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we good? Are we good?
I've come up with what they should be doing with Seth next.
Oh, okay.
I know what they should be doing with Seth
next. What's that?
I kind of want to bring Triple H back into the story. It's from that. Did you watch that Wrestling Isn't Wrestling thing?
I watched like the first, I think, 5 minutes of it or so.
Yeah, well, that sort of thing, which is the story of Triple H. Triple H constantly wanting the title belts and stuff. I kind of want Triple H, now that Seth is holding the gold next to the authority and stuff like that, I want Triple H to kind of be like, I should have that, really. And then I want Seth to be... I want the authority to turn on Seth, but because Seth has burnt all of his bridges being Jahil...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he can go off and then he has to defend it from absolutely everyone, but keeps it. And so you can keep it. It makes Seth incredibly strong... Holding the belt and keeping it, but he's literally fighting off in every... And they can get it because there'll be these two factions of everybody versus the authority fighting over him, then he can actually win it just by these two people fighting.
Yeah.
By having the people sort of fighting over the top of him and just sort of be keeping the championship. And so he can be the sneaky Weasley heel constantly, but then we have more storytelling going on with everybody else.
Exactly.
You would end up building him into a really strong face doing that too.
Eventually, if you
keep that up, yeah, you're right. That's really good. Which is inevitable. Like all the really really good strong heels always have no choice but to go face, and that's where Seth is headed. He's going to be huge. Let's see. That's pretty much it. That's all I got too.
One other thing, sorry, I just checked my notes, was the thing from WrestleMania that everybody was saying. Was that the titles are going to be so strong now. Everybody was saying that the titles are going to be so strong.
I said they were going to try.
The titles are going to be so strong. We've got Cena versus Rusev 4.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's out and injured. And Kane is just messing up everything Seth does. So yeah, titles are strong.
The titles are back, baby.
Yeah.
Time to add another one to the mix. A 24/7 network title.
Yep.
Seriously. We should start a petition for that thing. I would love that. I would write it for you for free. I would actually write all of the little vignettes and things. You can have one a day and I would constantly be writing them. And they would be so easy to film and put up. How many people would actually just then eventually would be like, go, actually, I'll get the network. Because like at 4 a.m, your phone goes, it's like network. It's like, Dean Ambrose is in a plane. Kicking the shit out of each other in a bathroom toilet. That's the sort of in that little space there. Or they're on a roller coaster and they're kicking the shit out of each other.
That's a money idea. It's so easy to film. That's a money idea right there. I love it. Yep. That's great. Speaking of money ideas, Billy Corgan's going to TNA.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that weird Billy Corgan is a giant wrestling mark and he's going to be on TNA.
You know, he helped run an organization in Chicago, was it?
I thought it was his organization.
Yeah, I thought so too. But either he got
did he have something to do with Wrestling X? Something Wrestling X?
No, I want to say it's like Evolution Pro or something like that. It was called.
That's cool.
Here, let me check.
I just hope
he's Billy Corgan,
the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, I've only ever made references to them. I've never actually heard anything they've done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. They were huge. They were huge when you were a kid here in the States, anyways. Oh.
Yeah, in the mid-90s, they really
And
big.
So it's weird because, you know, they eventually got into a very goth-looking sort of thing. And so it's just kind of silly for, like, Billy Corgan, who always seems like a really cool guy. Like, whenever he gives interviews and stuff, he seems down to earth. He's not like, oh, look at me, I'm a weird rock star guy. And, like, but he's always been a big mark for wrestling. But it's just so funny to see him.
It was, his company was Resistance.
Oh, there you go, Resistance. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, it's time now for our book of the match. Luger.
Yeah, I thought I'd
Lex Luger, the Steiners, the Nature Boy, Sting.
That sounded like a teacher rapping. Like, that was the sort
probably
of
what it was.
You'd get at the start of an educational video.
That was
That's
the what
I
best
felt.
Shit I've ever. Like, when, okay, here's the deal with Wrestler. This is how I got. I forget exactly what the seed was, but I came across a wrestler. Oh, no, I know what it was. I was coming up with names to throw at Larson for our what is it called? Kayfabe Corner, is that what we call it?
Yeah, Kayfabe
Where
Corner.
We toss each other wrestling names and we try to guess them if they're real or fake. And so I came across, so I was looking at wrestling names, and I came across Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. Real guy. He's actually, and then coincidentally, he's from where we're from. He's from Sacramento. And I was like, of course, whenever I find a wrestler that I've never really heard of, don't know much about, I look at, is he dead or alive? Which should be another segment of ours, dead or alive. That should, sadly, that should be. So anyways, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer's from Sacramento. He died in 1992, which of course led me to wonder, what was the last thing, like, what was the last big thing he did? I wonder why he died. And so in 1990, his last match with WCW, which was the last time he was in a big promotion, because he had sort of gone around. He was the NWA heavyweight champion for a while, which is kind of hot shit. And then, but the last thing was Wrestle War 1990. So that got me thinking, it said he had a wrist injury. So I was like, I wonder if it's like, I wonder if it's on there. I wonder if you can see it. And so I looked it up. I started at the beginning of Wrestle War 1990. And that's when I came across that awesome rap video at the beginning. And I was like, this is my pay-per-view. This is what I need to watch right now. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I go through it and it's amazing. Buzz Sawyer, you can see him. It was the finisher that he does because he does a top rope splash.
The jam sandwich, I believe it was.
The jam sandwich, there you go. And he landed on the guy, and if you look at his wrist, it definitely does roll pretty nasty, and then he goes back to holding it, and I'm like, that's the injury that got him out of WCW, and then two years later, he was dead. So that's where we get our book of the match from.
Because
wrestlers die. And it's very sad. So anyways, there are so many things to talk about with this.
Ross. Young Jim Ross looks like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, he does. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, he does.
Like, I sort of think, I thought it was like some weird prosthetic someone was wearing. I was like, oh, no, that's Jim. What?
Dude. Yeah. Jim Ross, and he was able to smile back then. Which is some, and this is sad because I love Jim Ross. He's the best ever. But it's weird to see him able to operate his face and smile. It's so bizarre to see that. And Terry Funk is quite possibly the worst color guy I've ever heard in my life, because he was just a stammering weirdo, and none of it. It was just I thought Terry Funk was horrible. But it added something to me.
After you said that, it lowered my expectations.
Oh, okay. So you're like, oh, okay, I'm okay with this. Yeah, you're probably right. I could see that.
And also, I was watching it with the volume on the TV turned down, okay. So I was only really hearing about half of what was being said. So.
My favorite line from him, I think I texted you when this happened, Larson.
The line about the beautiful
it's
woman.
Like the camera, like the I think it was during the main event.
Yeah, it was. He was talking about women.
Yeah, and the camera guy, like the camera, the direction goes out to the crowd and focuses on some, you know, pretty lady for 1990, you know, fucking gnarly for today. And
that's time sexist.
And plus, God knows wherever they were,
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. No offense, North Carolina, but 1990 probably wasn't your best year for women. Anyways, the camera goes out to the audience, and fucking Terry Funk says, "Why are you turning the camera on ladies? Nobody's interested in ladies. I don't want to see pretty women. I want to see men being athletic." Like, Terry Funk, you fucking weird bastard. Who would just say that? So anyways, one of my highlight for anything is just weird. And this was had a the fucking Dan, did you recognize the Undertaker coming out?
Yeah, Mean Mark.
Mean Mark Calloway, that's right.
I was like, wait, who's that guy? Because it was one of those things, because he looks the same. Like, everyone else's age. But, like, I'm now genuinely worried if the Undertaker may genuinely be a dead guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is... Kayfabe has left the building at this point, yeah. But, yeah.
He does. He does look like... He looks like he's in the beginning states of rigor mortis. Which definitely, and maybe that's what they noticed when they first saw him. They said, you know, well Mark, what angle would you like to take? Well, technically, I'm dead, so I could do something with that, Vince. There was that. Like, the Freebirds were around, and the Freebirds were hot, like, in the early, early 80s, late 70s. Mm-hmm. And
fabulous Freebirds.
Fabulous Freebirds. And they had caught up to the times, which was, like, stupid, like, hair rock, like...
The glam rock,
hair rock kind of thing. And so they had, like, the eyeliner on. And, like, Jimmy Garvin was part of the Freebirds, which I never even knew he was a part of, because back in the day it was Terry Gordy and I forget who else.
Yeah, who was the other guy?
I forget. But you know, Michael Hayes is always around. They're all fat. It was like watching me in the ring, but with, like, an eyeliner on. It was just all bad. That was hilarious. And what I totally fucking missed when I started watching the Buzz Sawyer match, I forgot who he teamed with.
Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Sullivan. But he fought against Shane Douglas and Dan. You were watching when People Power was a thing, right?
What's People
Power? John Laurinaitis.
It's John Laurinaitis.
Okay, never mind. I guess you were right. You had to have been right after that then. Okay. Right before you started watching, like probably around 2011 or so. 2011, 2012.
Yeah. The authority figure was John Laurinaitis instead of the authority.
Yeah, it was John.
Oh, no.
And he was legit. He was the backstage.
He was head of talent.
Right, he was the head of talent relations backstage, and so they just brought him on stage. Well, he was the guy. He was Johnny Ace back in the day, and mm-hmm. he invented what's now the RKO. The RKO, Stunner, Diamond Cutter, they're all the Ace Crusher. And him and Shane Douglas were the dynamic dudes. And I was always a big Shane Douglas fan, like years later when he was in ECW. And like, it didn't even occur to me who they were because I didn't watch the entrances. And then when I looked at the card, I was like, wait a second, they fought fucking Shane Douglas and Johnny Ace? That's crazy. And I went back and I was like, oh my God, they did. So
it's surprising how athletic Laurinaitis.
Yeah, was. I know. He was babyface too.
He was.
I googled People Power WWE and Google suggests John Laurinaitis People Power, John Laurinaitis' assistant, and what really happened to John Laurinaitis' voice? What the fuck?
Because he has a very like hoarse voice. Is it coarse?
Yeah, constantly gravelly.
Horse? What am I thinking of? Yeah, it's like, he sounds like this. Listen, you're gonna. That's what he sounds like.
Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, that was John Laurinaitis. I'm trying to. I gotta look up what were the other weird shit that was going on with WrestleWar?
Mick Foley had all his teeth.
Norman the Lunatic, Norman the Lunatic, who I guess was supposed to be like a man-child type thing.
Yeah, like Eugene,
but not retired.
Eugene in an acceptable era for Eugene, I think, is the worst way of putting it.
Yeah. And without the completely obvious, like, speech impediments and shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
What?
Apparently, that guy would eventually become Bastion Booger.
Norman did? Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Bastion Booger.
Much weird. Cactus Jed Foley came out. Damn, what was your thoughts on Foley back in the day?
I've never seen Foley so thin or have so many teeth.
And yet, he was thin, and yet he was still doughy. You could still see that 10 years later, he'd be a big mound of dough.
Yeah.
He always had boobs. let's see here. Norman the Lunatic, the Rock and Roll Express. Oh,
I did like the end of that Norman the Lunatic fight where he just sat on him for the pin.
Yeah.
That was quite a good little comedy segment. Which is now facing an illegal maneuver in the UK. Completely banned from the UK.
let's see here. That's right. Brian. And yeah, this is also a weird period because the WCW is still a part of the NWA. So there was so much like brand confusion there. That it was like WCW was its own thing, but it was part of the NWA. And then I think a year later, like a little bit less than a year later, they just became their own thing, and you wouldn't hear about the NWA.
You just answered a question I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Because for the whole run, I was there going, Why do they keep mentioning the NWO? I thought Hogan joined much later. It's the NWO, that one.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Never mind. It was, that was, I was like, what? How are they a thing already? I thought this was...
That's great. See, there's so much weird. the NWA, I think they started like 1948 around there or something.
Yeah.
They were sort of the governing body of all the individual territories before Vince came around and started snapping up all the wrestlers to be a national thing. And the NWA, they're still around, but they're not like, you know, they're not like relevant. I don't even know what purpose they serve anymore.
They tell people that the guns are okay. That's the NRA, never mind.
That's, yeah, exactly. They're they're rappers from Compton, though. That's a different NWA. Let's see here. Brian Pillman, he went on to become pretty hot shit before he died. And Tom Zenk, the Z-Man.
We got to see Scott Steiner before he went absolutely insane.
That's right. It's a baby face kind of Scott Steiner.
There were so many tag matches.
I know. Like, it was all tag matches.
There were nine tag teams.
That's right.
Nine.
Wow.
Nine.
That is crazy. Teddy Long. I got to see Teddy Long. That's right. I forgot about that.
And so many tag matches. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised he tagged it.
That's right. Teddy Long and this is the perfect one for Teddy Long. What we're going to have here is a six-man tag match. Our main event. That was always funny. We had Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson. I always joke with Larson that Ole Anderson looks like a previous gen version of Arn Anderson. Like Arn Anderson looks like he's got more texture to his character. He looks like he has more detail, and Ole Anderson looks like... Like, if Arn Anderson is, like...
Just fewer less polygons.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, because they're not
brothers. They're not even brothers, but they look exactly the same, only with one in lower resolution. Yeah. It's bizarre. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for WrestleWar, and I'm looking at the WrestleWar 1991 poster, and it's got Sid... Barry Windham and Arn Anderson, and they're all in like military gear, but they look as they look like erotic army men. I'll put it that way. They look like they're like a couple steps away from just being in a porn, which is just wrestling for you in general. But and then of course, I think it was during this pay-per-view, because I saw a different one. I can't remember what it was, but so the main event had Ric Flair, Lex Luger with Sting when he had his bum leg apparently, and his hair was normal, or he had his hair. And at a certain point during the main event, Jim Ross was trying to explain to us that Lex Luger is a crafty wrestler, and he said to illustrate his point, he says Lex Luger's smart. He's got a bachelor's degree in marketing.
Yeah, he had a 3.78 GPA.
3.78 GPA, that's right. That was how he's trying to illustrate that Lex Luger could potentially beat Ric Flair, is that he's got a degree in marketing and a 3.7 GPA. Oh my God, that was brilliant.
I believe it. That's made me believe in him. That made me believe in him.
And the again, weird shit. Luger was getting pops. Like, the crowd was huge into Lex Luger. And even when he was, like, during his, like, big run in the WWF, nobody popped for Luger. Like,
no, the only other time anybody popped for him is when he beat Hogan for the in WCW.
Yeah, because that was, like, a holy crap moment. Like, they let Luger. But I was doing a little bit of research here. This is during the period where Ric Flair was the head booker for WCW. And he wouldn't drop the belt to Lex Luger. That's why we had the finish that we had.
Well, I was reading up on it, too, and apparently the reason he wouldn't drop it to Luger is because he promised Sting that he'd drop it to him.
Oh, he did promise him that. Okay, I knew that. Yeah. I knew that he would only drop it to Sting. I didn't know that he made that sort of promise. He's like, hey, buddy, I'll drop this to you. That's hilarious. And I guess the wrestlers didn't like that. He would just book himself into winning stuff, which is crazy. I mean, on one hand, it's crazy. On the other hand, it probably isn't crazy. I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
But so then the skirmish at the end was Lex Luger versus Arn Anderson and low res Arn Anderson, and then the Steiners came in. Just all sorts of fucking weird for this pay-per-view. Yeah. But I love that kind of shit.
It boggles my mind that Ric Flair has been pretty much most of his career wrestled the same exact match. For like 35 years, he just wrestled the same match. And I felt like in this match they said, okay, we'll work out the first 8 minutes, and the second 8 minutes we'll just repeat the first 8 minutes just in slightly different order.
Did you?
And we'll do that for 36
did
minutes.
Do you see how long this match is though? I was stunned.
It was more than a half hour.
38 minutes. Yeah. So yeah, it's like they did three Ric Flair matches. Like they just restarted it.
Yeah, no, I mean, they say like it because like every time Luger did a military press, it's like, all right,
restart the match now. Yeah,
because he did like half a dozen of those at least, and they kind of stopped being impressive after the second one. Okay, you can lift Ric Flair over your head. Cool. Good for you.
The poster for Wild Thing for Wrestle War 90 is hilarious too, because it's got like a giant picture. If you just go to the Wikipedia page of Wrestle War,
the drop shadow on Luger is horrible.
You got a giant Ric Flair who's taken up the entire image, and then you have a tiny Photoshop Lex Luger in front of him, like basically.
I've seen it now. Yeah.
Basically,
the worst drop shadow
like,
there
you
is.
You just get the idea that. And, like, Ric Flair's robe is kind of open, so it's like,
yeah,
Luger can kind of sneak into the robe, or maybe neither of them are wearing pants. I don't know what's happening there. None of it's good, though, I can tell you that. None of it's good.
Oh, God. Ric Flair was a weird one. I've never seen, well, I was about to say I've never seen Ric Flair young, but I still haven't. But he was really quite athletic, budging around the ring a lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
it was quite hard to see because I've only ever seen till the later Ric Flair. I will point out his hair somehow looks more realistic in 2K15. Like there is, don't know what is wrong with Ric Flair, but like his hair just doesn't look. It looks like it's cel shaded, but the rest of him's just like a normal person.
It's cel shaded. It is. It totally looks like that. I know, it definitely has a mind of its own. Like, it's doing its own thing.
Yeah.
And it's been different throughout the years, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't always like that. It's crazy.
And who is Woman? That was just Woman. Poor Woman.
You know who Woman is. Larson, would you like to explain who Woman is?
Is this going to be a thing where she's dead?
Yeah.
And you know who...
She used to be Mrs. Chris Benoit.
Oh, fuck. It's wrong to laugh.
Oh, God. Because you had to ask the question, who is Woman? That's why.
Her name was just Woman. I was intrigued.
It's so rare. It's so
rare. I was intrigued with Lady in Devil May Cry. I was intrigued with Woman with the 50 tons of makeup on in this.
At the time, she was probably with Kevin Sullivan, right? She was Kevin Sullivan's ex, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, that was just sad. It's all just sad. Wild Thing. Lex Luger, the Steiners, the Nature Boy, and Sting. They're all here.
They're all doing
the Wild Thing.
The Wild Thing.
I'm so glad we're not in the 90s anymore.
Oh, I loved it, though. Oh, it was so great. I loved the 90s. They're fantastic. I'm just scrolling down.
They chanted for Norman. There was a Norman chant.
Yeah.
Midway through Wrestle War.
We have to start that back up. Next year, WrestleMania, when we all go to Texas for WrestleMania, we're going to start some Norman chants.
Looking at
some of these other Wrestle Wars. Oh, it's all classic. It was, I guess it was a different one that I watched. Heyman wasn't on this one, was he? It was, I think it was the next one. I don't know. I think
92 was the Dangerous Alliance.
Oh,
All
right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Can we watch a good one next, please?
So much That's weird. So I guess we should determine now that we've thoroughly exhausted Wild Thing. Should we determine what's the next book of the match? Any ideas?
Do we want to stick with WCW? Do we want to stick with kind of the weird 90s era? Or do you want to do something a little more recent?
I don't know. Let's give it some thought. We'll tweet it out. We'll tweet it out sometime over the next week or so. We'll give you guys a little bit of time to watch it. But by all means, I hope you've enjoyed watching Wild Thing with us because it's hilarious. And I guess now it's that time for Kevin Owens...
Owens in Raw.
Owens in Raw. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
I'll go first because I have. This is the only bit of this show that is complained about.
Yeah,
is that
controversy.
I always do really long, dark ones for this, and it's like some people have genuinely complained, like that. I'm being pushed is what their complaints are. over you guys. So they've said, could you stop doing the long, dark one? So I'm going to do a very short, very light one. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Right. Brace yourself for this. Because, right, there'll be a little explanation after this, right?
Uh-huh.
But you'll get it. Okay. His name will be Kevin Sheen, and he's just a bit shiny.
I like there was nothing in there where he... See, I got a whole... I can use, like... He does, like, he decided, hey, I got to get in weight. I got to get in shape because my knees are killing me. I'm going to take some cardio kickboxing classes. And he gets all super sweaty, and he's Kevin Sheen. There you go.
No, I actually, I like the fact he just sort of, like, waxed himself, and he comes out with, like, one of those, like, floor buffers. Like, just
like that
all up and down himself. And then, like, when he's, like, coming back, like, doing his comeback in the match, they could shine lights on him. So he's like, oh, I'm shining.
Yeah.
Well, let me go next because actually mine dovetails nicely with that. My idea is inspired by Naomi's shoes last night.
Nice.
Kevin Owens, he comes back from knee injury and his push continues and he says to himself, you know what? I'm the future of this of wrestling. My future is bright. I got to let people know this.
Yeah.
So he starts wearing all sorts of LED lights around him. He's like, he's got a full LED light outfit. He looks like Tron, practically. Including the shoes. Uh-huh. And his name is Kevin Glowens. I was going to say also Kevin Sheen, but Dan already took that, so we'll just stick with Kevin Glowens.
Next time we should all have the same name but different backstories.
That's a good idea.
All right, so this is mine. So he had to take some time off because his knees are bum or whatever. He had surgery or whatever he did. And so, you know, in his downtime, he's like, I'm bored right now. What am I going to do? Let's try some board games. What kind of board games do we have here on the NXT tour bus? So he's back there looking through. He's like, Clue, no, that sucks. Monopoly, that's too hard. Look at this. What's this? Dream Date. Oh, okay. Let's watch this Dream Date. I'll check out this board game. So he plays Dream Date. He's fascinated by it. He's like, wow, I can find the man of my dreams. So then he becomes inspired. So when he comes back, he's like, I'm no longer Kevin Steen. I'm Kevin Dream. Because he's going to take you on your dream date. That's my Kevin. That's my Kevin Owens gimmick of the month.
And that was Owens in Raw.
Owens in Raw. Oh, God.
Do you want to pick a name now and then have, like, all of us come up with a different factor? Like, a bit of a vague name.
What's something that rhymes with Steen?
Kevin Chow Mean.
I think there's only one backstory.
There's only one backstory for that. Okay, Kevin Latrine.
All right. That's it. That's it. That's ours. Kevin Latrine.
Kevin Latrine. Okay.
That's what it is. In stone. Next time, Kevin Latrine. And we invite our listeners to come up with their own backstories as well for Kevin Latrine. When you'll get all of our backstories. Dan, I hope I don't want you to bow to the will of the people, Dan. I want you to go long and dark next time.
Yeah.
Done.
All right. So that's this episode of Going in Raw. Dan, thanks for participating.
Thanks for inviting me.
Larson, we'll talk to you next month. What? Larson, you and I will talk to the people next week.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Goodbye.